public hearings on zoning applications. And when we hold those public hearings, they're legislative hearings, because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant or witness. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. You are not required to read your written statement. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent mode. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The only public hearing tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me, is change of zone number 1677. It's the application of Old Town Point, LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the northwest corner of Savannah Road and North Village Main Boulevard at the Savannah Road entrance to the Village of Five Points, and to be located on 4.04 acres, more or less. Now, before I go into my report, for the benefit of the council, I've passed down four copies of the exhibit booklet. That's the only copy that I had. The commissioners still have their copies. And I also passed down copies of ordinance number 1377 with the original application for the Village of Five Points. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Here's extra booklet. Thanks.
Send
one down there, Sam.
I'm also passing down copies of the written comments received since the commission's public hearing on behalf of in support of the application or on behalf of the applicant, based on the commission's recommendation. And I'm also passing down copies of, due to the number of letters of opposition, I'm sure nobody wanted to listen to me read them all, so I made copies for each councilman and Councilwoman Deaver.
Thank you.
They were received up to 12:43 today, I believe, since the commission's public hearing. And they are all a part of the record. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on March 11th of 2010. As I referenced, the applicant did provide an exhibit booklet, which the council has copies before them now. They were also, commission was also provided with a copy of the same ordinance, number 1377, for the original MRRPC for Village of Five Points. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We'd received a notice from Claude O'Connor, president of the Property Owners Association for the Village of Five Points. He wrote that the Board of Directors for the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association offered its full support for the application. We also had received the letters, our letter from opposition from Donna Pasek, Michael Hobbs, Maureen Hobbs, and they are part of the record. Jamin Hudson was present on behalf of Old Town Point LLC with John Sergovic, attorney with Sergovic and Carmine Professional Association, Ken Christianberry, professional engineer with Axiom Engineering LLC, and Robin Davis of Hudson Management, and all gave testimony. Saul Peltz, chairman of the Village of Five Points Architectural Review Committee, spoke with some concerns, and they are part of the record. There were no parties present in support of the application. Anthony Pasek, a resident of the Village of Five Points, spoke in opposition. Joel Vanini, also a resident of the Village of Five Points, also spoke in opposition, as did Jennifer Short, a resident of the Village of Five Points. The applicant's representative responded to some of the questions raised by the opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton asked for input from other commissioners. Mr. Johnson stated he is not in position to vote at this time since an adequate record is not available on the attempted community service uses. Mr. Ross stated that 10 days should give the applicant adequate time to get a SOAR response from county engineering. Mr. Johnson again requested documentation on the attempts to get a community service uses since Mr. Hudson was not available due to illness. And then there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration, to leave the record open for 10 business days for written comments on the county engineering comments, and for documentation on the community service uses from the applicant. And that motion carried unanimously 4-0. The comments that I provided to the council as they relate to both support, which are actually responses to the engineering, or excuse me, the commission of deferral, and then the opposition. And those comments have been received since the commission meeting on March 11 until today. And the commission yet still hasn't taken action on this application, so the action is still deferred. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Mr. Sergovic.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is John Sergovic, and I'm with a law firm of Sergovic and Carmine here in Georgetown, and we represent the applicant. As far as the presentation goes, I'll give a brief overview. I'll have Mr. Christianberry give us some site plan details, traffic, and some SOAR comments. I'll then talk about briefly about contracts and restrictions. Robin Davis will outline the efforts to obtain a community service use. Mr. Lux, who's the realtor who brought the CVS contract to Craig Hudson, will also discuss CVS's philosophy, and will also talk about the impacts of CVS on the Village of Five Points. And I'll have Kristen Hudson talk about the use of the back 2 acres or the remaining 2 acres and current feelers with the Lewis Library. And I will then talk about compliance. As a brief overview, this is a proposed ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map from AR1, Agricultural Residential District, to B1 for construction and maintenance of a proposed pharmacy and an additional pad parcel. If the change is allowed, condition number 21 of Ordinance 1377 approving CZ 1400 needs to be modified. The condition currently states the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community service, i.e. fire, police, EMT services, library, and or museum, but subject to the architectural controls of the Village of Old Points. And that really is the centerpiece of this rezoning application. Back in when the Villages of Five Points was approved about 10 years ago, I understand that the applicant, in discussion with a citizens group, offered to take this 4.5 acres that wasn't actually included within CZ 1400 and said that we deed restrict the property for community service use. And you'll see the opposition, and the opposition in large part says, you know, I bought with the understanding that that would be a community service use. Unfortunately, over 10 years, my clients have not been able to find a community use user that was economically viable for that site. And as a result, when CVS approached, they said, let's go in and seek a rezoning and explain to the county council that we proposed that limitation. It was unsuccessful, and therefore the land's going to lie fallow unless we can get it rezoned. And as a point of fact, if it was to be put to community use, we'd still have to rezone it because right now it's AR1. So even if we were successful in getting a viable community user, we'd still have to come to the council and get the property rezoned for that use. Because if I want to put an EMS station or a police station or a museum, I can't do it on AR1 lands. I have to get the property rezoned. And we will talk at length about efforts we've made, but with that overview so that you understand the scope of the application, and but for that condition, this really would be a simple infill rezoning application. And we'll explain that through Mr. Christenberry. Okay.
Good afternoon. Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. I'd like to take you on a brief tour through the booklet that you have in front of you. Hopefully we have enough copies up there. Tab 2 is just a color site plan. This is what's envisioned for the property for the rezoning to be granted at this point. That does leave some vacant land as well, which will be discussed later by Mr. Hudson. Tab 4 is just a black and white copy of that. Obviously, I don't think there's any doubt that there's plenty of room for adequate parking for the uses that are intended. Tab 5 shows the zoning, and as Mr. Sergovic noted, this clearly would be an infill application. Actually, the county's database appears to have mislabeled this property as being zoned MR, and it's actually zoned AR1. But were it not for the restriction that was mentioned during the change of zone that produced the residential plan community, this would be clearly an infill application. Tab 6.
Infill, would it be?
I'm sorry?
You're saying it would be an infill.
I'm saying if you look at Tab 5, the zoning map, mm-hmm. The property is clearly surrounded on all sides by more densely zoned property than AR1.
But you're asking for B1.
We are. We're adjacent on two sides to C1 and adjacent on two sides to mixed-use residential. Mm-hmm. So B1 appears to be a logical transition from medium density residential to highway commercial. The tab 6 is just, again, an aerial overview that gives you some idea of why we view this as a infill application. The area clearly has been under continuing development trends for the last Tab 7 is just a soils map. It indicates that the soils are well drained, as is typical in this area. Tabs 8 and 9 are your comprehensive plan. Tab 9 is a close-up. It actually indicates the entire area to be within a highway commercial future land use area. Tab 13 is a traffic analysis that was submitted to DelDOT specific to the proposed pharmacy. If a use other than the pharmacy were to be proposed, we may be subject to a traffic impact study, but DelDOT did determine that for a pharmacy, similar to what's shown on the site plan, no traffic impact study would be required. And that letter from DelDOT is the next tab, tab 14. That's largely what I have to go through in the book. And I'd like to proceed with our response to the County Engineering Department's comments that were received literally hours before the planning and zoning hearing. This is the old one? I have a copy of this in the back.
Make sure I made it right.
So I think they already have it on the record. Start by reading the highlighted quote at the bottom of this page. This is the county's comments regarding the application. Is wastewater capacity available for the project? Quote, system design and capacity evaluations have considered the villages of Five Points as a whole project. The parcel considered for rezoning did not exist separately, and the area was anticipated to be used for community service purposes, which is exactly what we've stated all along. What I've included in the balance of the packet is an analysis of what a worst-case scenario as far as EDU demands might be for community service purposes. The restriction that was imposed upon the residential plan communally specified museums, libraries, police, EMT, and fire. And it's my understanding, based on having evaluated several fire halls in the area, that a fire hall has a demand for EDUs that far surpasses that of a pharmacy and surpasses, I believe, the other B1 uses that we have not restricted. Mr. Sergovic has provided council with proposed restrictions that would restrict out restaurants, car washes, laundromats, things that do have a very high wastewater demand, would be restricted from being developed on this property, even if the B1 is granted. The remaining B1 uses, compared to what a fire hole would produce or what is being analyzed in the documents that you have, I visited and toured the Lewis Fire Station number 1 and Rehoboth Fire Station number 18, counted the fixtures, which is in accordance with the county's ordinance on sewer EDU allocations, and determined that the EDUs per acre for the fire halls for Rehoboth was over 10 EDUs per acre, and for Lewis was right at about 7. I've also prepared some information in here regarding other uses that the county code is not as specific in addressing. There are state codes for wastewater design generation that are available that we use for designing septic permits. I've applied those to the spreadsheets that you have here to compare how the proposed uses, whether it would be office space, medical offices, even barbershops, how that would compare to a banquet hall with a bar and food, which is what I believe a fire hall can operate as. And have found that the EDUs that would be required for a fire hall far exceed any of the other uses contemplated for this site. If you have any specific questions about the information that's presented in here, I'd be pleased to go over it with you, but I think it's fairly well laid out.
I do have a question. Maybe yes. Now's a good time since we're talking about it. The Villages of Five Points is not built out, right? What the engineering department is saying, based on the size of the development and the build out, there will be deficiencies and they oppose it. So it's my assumption is there's still phases to be built in the villages, which was part of that original.
It's my understanding that East Village does have some.
Everything's not built out.
It's correct. It's not 100% built out.
Okay. Is it possible then for the same developer owns all this, right?
To my knowledge, yes.
Why couldn't the developer then go over and take X amount of units of EDUs and subtract from his master plan to pick up the capacity that would be needed here, as opposed to jeopardizing what the engineering department says is, you know, would be a deficient issue, a situation if we approve this. In other words, we would exceed capacity by approving this, but if there's still unbuilt units there, just come in for a site plan amendment and change, you know, free up some EDUs and stay within the project's original, calculations. Isn't that a possibility?
As far as whether that's a possibility or not, I'm not really in a great position to comment on that.
But that would do it. That would solve the EDU problem, wouldn't it?
That is one way to look at it.
Okay.
That's not a way that I would look at it. I would look at what was the way it's quoted in the letters, how I would look at it. System design and capacity evaluation have been considered for the village as a Five Points as a whole project. And the it says right in the county's comments, the parcel considered for rezoning did not exist separately, and the area was anticipated to be used for community service. And a community service that was specified in the restriction was a fire hall. And if that was anticipated as a use that would be acceptable in this location, then my understanding would be that if we have less EDUs and a pharmacy has tremendously less.
Fire hall or fire station?
Fire hall, fire station.
Fire station, the fire halls are big, like you said, like you calculated. But when you go out and look at these fire stations,
where you may just be parking a truck or two.
Right. Aren't they, Mike, they're, what do they call them, the satellite places?
The satellite location.
This would be a satellite location. I can't imagine Lewis is going to build another fire hall, you know, with what they've got downtown. But anyway.
Well, we've actually approached the fire department and had no luck getting them to.
Well, it's probably so close and stuff.
Between the Nassau location and the downtown location.
But this was this parcel of ground is what I'm trying to get at. Was it part of the original Villages of Five Points master plan? Was that, this was all part of that big parcel?
It was restricted.
Did somebody tell me that?
Let me explain.
There he comes.
The original zoning application, I think it's CZ 1400, this 4.5, at that time, 4.5 acres, was not inside that rezoning application. As part of the process, the 4.5 acres was addressed in the final ordinance 1377. And the developer offered a restrictive covenant on that to set it aside for community service use, i.e. fire, police, EMS services, library, and museums. Developer will maintain architectural and signage control of any facility. So when the sewer analysis was done, it was contemplated that 4.5 acres would be developed in concert with the Village of Five Points in that type of a use, which is a non-residential use that has either traffic impacts or sewer impacts. And that's what we understand the county report to say is that we evaluated that, and that was part of our downline sewer analysis. And what I'm reading that report is saying is that although we designed that, something else may have happened that may have, you know, either we made a mistake in our design or something else happened to increase the sewer flow. But it wasn't because of the Village of Five Points, because this was a contemplated use when that sewer was designed.
Mr. Sturgevic, I
yes.
have a question.
Sure.
In 21, in the conditions, I'm reading IE, fire, police, EMS services, library, and museum. Is that limited to those uses?
No.
Or could it be open space or a park?
It was, i.e., for example.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when we say, for example, we mean legally by way of illustration and not limitation.
Not limited to those uses.
Correct.
So it could be a park.
It could be just
park. No, it was, the IE says these are the types, this is the types of uses we're envisioning, that it should be some kind of a non-residential use, but a use that entails both traffic and sewer loading capacities.
Where does it say that?
Well, it's implied if it's a library, it's going to have a bathroom, right?
That's what I'm asking.
Say, mm-hmm.
It was a community use which had contemplated both traffic loads and utility loads such as water and sewer.
So it still could be, it could be a playground.
Well, it could
it
be.
It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the contemplated use was devoting the land to some use in which people would be involved and buildings would be involved.
Well, you can have people in buildings in a playground, too.
You can have them in museums or you can have them in movie theaters.
Correct. And those deed restrictions were placed?
Yes. Okay. We have a memo, and I'll hand it out later, that the restrictive covenants can be amended by the master developer, and that's signed off by the attorney for the Village of Five Points Homeowners Association. While we're up here,
yeah.
In this, some of the opposition letters mentioned the fact that they didn't want to be looking at loading docks or dumpsters.
We're having a hearing problem.
I'm sorry. Some of the protest letters mentioned that they did not want to be looking at the loading docks or the dumpsters of the CVS. And although we need final site plan approval, can you just address those issues?
Well, I think that can be addressed at the outset by landscaping, which has been shown.
Can you
here.
Flip that picture back to where we weren't? We're looking at that other picture, right?
Oh, sure.
The one with the, yes, that one, right? That's what we're discussing now, right? I believe so.
The views of loading docks and dumpster pads can certainly be blocked by landscaping. There also may be additional uses contemplated for some of the space that's shown is open right there. And again, Mr. Hudson will be discussing that later in the presentation.
Yeah. And also, with respect to the entrance, did you realign the entrance so that it met?
From the original CVS engineer's application, yeah, they provided a site plan that did not align with the Food Lion entrance, and so we amended that to.
CVS normally will have a drive through window.
They do, right here in the back corner. Drive-through.
There was also reference about maintaining a certain roadway. Is that roadway going in there? Is that part of the homeowners association's responsibilities? Could somebody, I saw one of the letters of opposition raise some issue there.
This is right away that's owned by the HOA.
HOA.
Yeah.
Belva's
responsibility stops right here.
Okay. Now, if CVS comes in, are they then going to monetarily participate in the HOA and?
They are, and I think, Robin, are you going to be discussing that later?
I can address that. Mr. Cole, if you look at, and actually, let me just get into the restrictive covenants. In the booklet, at tab 10 is the existing contract between...
Tab 10.
You'll see a contract between JEMX or JEM10 LLC and the Old Town Point LLC. The contract contemplates a couple of things, but one of those is that there would be a final maintenance agreement, and although it's still in draft form at tab 11, you'll see the cross easement agreements between Old Town Point and the proposed CVS buyer, and at tab it's at page 5, paragraph 6.
What tab are we at?
It's at tab 11, page 5, paragraph 6. It talks about the contribution of CVS to the annual CAM charge, and the initial charge is $20,000 per annum, and then there's a formula that all the Class C members, which are all the retail users, all share in CAM at a specific rate that's tied into the declaration, and they have a they bear a heavier burden for the road systems and the stormwater management than do the residential unit owners. And CVS, would, as well as Old Town Point, would be an added contributor to the CAM discharge of the CAM expenses, so that they, again, this was a planned residential community, and it was envisioned that commercial or retail users would bear their fair share and perhaps more of the common expenses for such things as roads and stormwater management. Again, it was a very well-designed community. Speaking of restrictive covenants, at the planning and zoning level and in the booklet, we had a proposed restrictive covenant running running in favor of the Village of Five Point Homeowners Association. The only restriction proposed at that time was that we would not use the property, any part of the property, for filling stations. After we got the comments from the county engineer, we went back to the B1 district, and we severely restricted the uses that could be made of this 4.04 acres. So that you have it separately.
What mechanism would you restrict the uses under B1?
We would restrict the uses by running this set of restrictive covenants.
In your covenants?
Restrictive covenants from okay. Old Town Point, the landowner,
okay.
In favor of the Village of Five Points Homeowners Association.
Mm-hmm.
And when the board, sent their letter, we discussed with them only eliminating the filling station. But when we got to mm-hmm. thinking about it further and saw some of the comments, we expanded the amount of restrictions to take out such things as automatic ice distribution, banks, drive-in, bicycle sales, catering and delicatessens, clinics, dry cleaning, filling stations, frozen food lockers, hospitals or clinics for small animals, laundromats, radio and television broadcasting stations, restaurants, drive-in or otherwise, and an undertaking business. That those restrictions make this
would initial use.
Well, no. What it does is it allows a blend use with the existing mixed uses, and takes out the more offensive uses, so that both the existing retail customers as well as the residential customers are protected.
Has there been any thought given to, since the community, according to their letters, they feel they're being robbed of a particular kind of use? Has any thought been given to providing that in another part of the village?
Let us introduce another speaker, and we'll speak to those issues. Robin, can you
get this?
I'm asking Robin Davis. I have to explain one thing. Craig Hudson's is very ill, and he can't attend. He wanted to attend, but he can't. So Robin Davis has been the lead. What does Mike call you? The spear catcher?
Chief spear catcher.
For the Village of Old Point. And let me introduce Robin.
Hi, I'm Robin Davis, and I work for Hudson Management, which is the management group of the Villages of Five Points. I'm here today to talk about Craig's efforts in trying to attract a community service, a nonprofit organization for those 4.5 acres. It was approximately around 2004 is when Craig started talking to people. Again, very casually, but we were aware of it. He had many meetings for the use of a museum. He spoke with the University of Delaware's College of Marine Studies, a businessman in Fenwick Island who had a marine-type shop, and he has a museum upstairs. Talked to him about doing a museum. There was some discussion with the fire department, post office. Anyway, the end result was we didn't have any takers on this. And again, we didn't pursue CVS. They came to us. Since our last public hearing meeting, however, and the article hit the newspaper, we did have a few people that came forward to discuss the possibility of doing a nonprofit there, the Lewis Library and also the Rehoboth Film Society, which we did talk to both of those. So we are in discussion with them on the remaining acreage.
Of this, if this got approved, you're talking about the balance of it, you would try to fulfill those.
But the remaining it is AR1, is it not?
Right. Well, we are attempting now to get the whole project, the whole 4 acres on B1.
Mm-hmm. But if you get the whole 4 acres B1, then any of the B1 uses, is the restrictions to the whole 4.5 acres that you're putting all this stuff in, or just
the remaining 2 acre? Well, no, John,
the whole 4.5. In other words, the whole green piece.
Well, it includes the CVS pharmacy.
Right.
So they would also be subject to those restrictions.
So
if CVS decided to pull out, they couldn't replace their use with the filling station.
Okay. In light of, though, John, and she can stay there, with the engineering department's concerns now of sewer capacity issues, to contemplate just one additional use there is something, but now you're also contemplating that plus possibly, depending on, I guess, the square footage requirements, different things, you could have a couple more establishments of whatever.
Well, again, right? The 2 acres for the CVS would still be restricted for the more.
But it seems we're compounding these potential sewer issues. I mean, I know Mr. Christian Berry has done some calculations, but I mean, if we have our engineers looking at it and saying there's problems, you know, and he's done some calculations on fire halls, that I don't know if it carries the same weight, but I'm getting concerned now that we're seeing not only this, but we're going to see a number of other things also. There wouldn't be any possibility that if you got this, the rest of it would remain either open space or.
Yeah, what we're saying is we're restricting the entire 4 acres. We've looked at the more intense sewer uses. We've taken those out. We've let the office use, the retail use remain. And we also have allowed the kind of community uses that would be allowed in the B1. And just a matter of housekeeping, Mr. Lank, does the package include the various affidavits?
Yes, it does. What I gave them, passed down to council.
I think I've answered my question.
Next, I'd like to call Mr. Lux.
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Lux. I am the managing broker and senior advisor at Sperry Van Ness, located in Lewis, Delaware.
I'm just going to ask Mr. Lux a series of questions. Can you explain your initial approach to Mr. Hudson regarding this property?
Yes. I work for JEM Development as a I look for sites for the CVS. We were looking in the Lewis area. I approached Craig, talked to him about the site, and at the time he told me of his work and what he was trying to do there with the museums, the library, the fire station, EMS, that sort of thing.
And did you undertake an effort on behalf of Mr. Hudson to try to
I did.
Make a connection between him and the post office?
I did. I was working at a contact with the U.S. Postal Service at the time, and they were supposedly looking for a new location in the Lewis area. We worked with them for some time. We were unsuccessful with that, and they ultimately renewed their lease in the location they have on Savannah Road out on Lewis Beach with that.
Could you briefly explain that the criteria for CVS locating in a particular site?
My marching orders are I'm to look for a site that contains about 2 acres. It can be a little smaller than that depending on the access to the site. It has to be at a signaled intersection. There's certain criteria we look at in a 3, 5, 10-mile range as far as existing housing numbers and projected housing starts with that. We identify a site. JEM then turns it over to CVS Corporate. They do their work as far as justifying the location of the store, what they believe the business would be in that location. And this particular site met all that criteria.
And also with respect to there's questions about too many, potentially too many pharmacies in close proximity. Can you just address that?
Sure. Part of the criteria is they look at what they call scripts, or we would call them prescriptions, that are written in a particular area. And their sense is that from their experience, and I don't pretend to know exactly how they do it, but from their experience that this particular demographics of this area justify that pharmacy there.
Is this the main road to the BB Medical Hospital and the various satellite medical offices on Savannah?
Sure, it's a natural for any kind of medical support type retail establishment.
In the opposition, there's also questions about the vacancies at the Village of Five Points retail space. Could you address that briefly?
Certainly. I am the listing and leasing agent at the Village of Five Points Shopping Center. And at the present time, we have some 12,000 square feet that's vacant. We also have about 2,600 square feet of that is now under LOI or a letter of intent to lease that. However, one has to understand that the Food Lion there, although they don't own the center, they have what we call a master lease, and they determine who can go into that center. We've had tenants as high as a need of 10,000 square feet, and Food Lion has denied them. Several years ago, when the economy was much stronger, that was not a real problem for us, but obviously now they like to make certain who their competitor is going to be in the center, and it has been restrictive to us.
And you've reviewed the some of the opposition letters, and there's notes that they the residential unit owners take exception to the location of a CVS, but also noting at the same time that they understood that community service uses would be made of that property, including an EMS. Is there a significant difference in the impact on a residential unit owner between a CVS operator and an EMS operator?
Well, sure. The way I look at this, and it's my opinion, CVS is a national credit tenant. We call them a credit tenant because they are nationally known, very viable, financially strong company. When they are located in a particular area, it will attract other credit tenants to a particular project. The fact that CVS may be there will help the leasing agents attract other well-known tenants, and that in turn will help increase the value of the center because it comes more desirable for a location, not only for the tenants, but perhaps for the residents, because the Village of Five Points was conceived as a project that you would walk to your grocery store, to your bank, to your other retailers that you might shop with. I think it would help stabilize that commercial aspect of the center. That. Any questions?
The other part of my question, which may not have been answered, is as far as the residential unit owner, whether they have a CVS in the 4 acres on the other side of the street or an emergency management service, the ambulance services, Is there a similar type of impact?
No, not at all. The CVS is a retailer, has certain hours it operates, doesn't run all night, that kind of thing. And I think
I mean, there are pharmacies that do go 24 hours at the beach, so I don't.
Well, they can, but it doesn't generate a whole bunch of noise, is what I was
okay.
thinking of.
My last witness before I turn to compliance is Christian Hudson.
Christian Hudson, 30921 Edgewater Drive, Lewis, Delaware, here on behalf of Old Town Point LLC.
Christian, with respect to potential uses, can you describe to the council the current fee, whether you have any feelers for community use service provider?
Since the Cape Gazette article has brought so much publicity to this thing, we've been approached by a number of nonprofits, different groups, so on, for the residual piece, which would be about 2 acres. We have had preliminary conversations with two groups. I believe Robin alluded to one or both of them. It's been a long-term goal to get some type of community service use that would benefit the residents and the tenants at the Villages of Five Points, both commercial and residential. One of those uses was the post office, as Mr. Lux told you about. Another use, long-term goal we've had, was to try to get a museum, but we've approached several people. But most recently, I think the library we talked to, the Rehoboth Film Festival we've talked to, and we are in preliminary talks with them for the residual lands, but I just don't think the appetite is there for all 4 acres. That is,
well, there wasn't a requirement to like cover the whole 4 acres with this community use. I mean, it was just that put a community use on the 4 acres. Now you've got people are interested, but you're trying to do what the original intent was, plus the CVS. So I still get concerned about the sewer capacity, and we're looking at not only this but additional uses, and we're compounding that. Is it possible you just got this and said, the rest of the parcel will be just left vacant?
Well, the question, Mr. Cole, is that it is 4 acres. The uses that are being contemplated will accommodate 2 users with adequate parking, and as determined by the zoning ordinance, and again, the Hudsons don't want to leave their land fallow, and there are some economic repercussions, and that turns to your next letter.
And just as a point of clarification on that engineering report, now I'm probably the least educated person who's talked so far.
I'll throw that out.
I don't have letters behind my name like everybody else. But I believe it said 4 EDUs per acre was what the county had already allotted, not 4 EDUs only. Is that correct?
Right. It's.
So there are additional EDUs already allocated, even in the county's engineering report for sewer, if you read the report.
Well, I asked a question earlier, Ms. Sergovic, and I'll ask you because you are one of the major, principals of the thing. If you had to free up some sewer use to make this viable, definitely with our engineering department, who says there's concerns, because they're looking downstream and everything else, it all ties together, and we've had this issue in other smaller parcels, and here's another one. Would you be willing to give up some EDUs elsewhere in your project so that you could accommodate this? And I don't know how much, I have no idea what that would be, but if you had to give up 4 or 5 units of townhouses, is that something that you would contemplate?
If we had to, I just don't think we're in that position that we have to. According to the engineering report, it appears to me anyway that there's already EDUs allocated for that would cover this CVS proposal in addition to some residual EDUs being allocated, I believe 12.
What engineer are we talking about?
Your Sussex, engineer? No, sir. The Sussex engineer? County Engineering Report.
I thought I read that they said that they're opposed to it.
And with AR zoning, I believe it's allocated at 4 units to the acre standard anyway.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah.
In my packet, if you go to page four.
Let me see if I can find mine. I was using Vance's. Here, I got it. On their report?
No. Well, the first two pages are the county engineer's report. Page four is some of my calculations.
Oh, your calculations.
Yes. If we have four EDUs per acre, it's 16 EDUs for the whole property. On page four is where I've run a calculation based on the...
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? You're talking to people that aren't engineers.
I understand that. That's why I want you to check the highlighted numbers.
We have to defer on this anyway. I'm leading up to is that we ought to have our engineering department look at your calculations.
Absolutely.
Compare them with their calculations, and then we can hear maybe a report from them in the future.
We would like to have the record left open for further discussion.
Yeah, I think so. I can't imagine that you're going to sit here and convince me.
Just by way of example, the CVS pharmacy at 13,000 square feet is about 4.4 EDUs on 2 acres of land.
Okay.
Which leaves surplus EDUs for the balance of the property, assuming that the pharmacy is indeed what CVS chooses to develop on the property.
Okay. I want to hear how they came to their... But anyway, we'll cross that bridge later.
Very good. And bear in mind, their letter was written before we had proposed deed restrictions, restricting out a lot of the uses that create the problem
it might
that
clarify
we're
a lot of
dealing
things.
With.
Okay.
I have a question. Under AR1, are there no public service facilities that are allowed under AR1 with the conditional...
Public. The uses that would be suggested would all require conditional use or a special exception, except for
but not rezoning.
A county-operated paramedic program.
But not rezoning. They wouldn't require rezoning, but they would require conditional use.
It would require conditional use.
Because it was earlier said that all those would require rezoning, and that, okay.
Now, some of those would be permitted in the B1 district, but as an AR district, it would be the... County-operated paramedic program would be the only one that would be exempt because it's county, be county-operated, so it's exempt from zoning.
So it's exempt from zoning. So you don't want to, you don't have a rezoning there either.
Right, and then I just have one last thing, if I may. And I wrote this down, so excuse me for reading, but there's a lot of reasons to consider this rezoning request. But there's one reason in particular I think you ought to consider this. I ask that you keep in mind the jobs that this will create. There's a lot of folks that are out of work right now, even more that are underemployed. And this is a construction project. I understand to a retired person or somebody who's mainly concerned with, you know, keeping an undisturbed view of their neighbor's property, employing people in the community just simply isn't a big factor in their decision. However, most of the residents of Sussex County are not collecting a pension. Most of the people that live here still have to work for a living. And a great many of them work in the construction sector. In our local economy, the men and women that work in construction have been more affected in this downturn than any other. This project will create roughly 75 new construction jobs in Sussex County in an industry where they're needed the most. This will also create between 25 and 35 new permanent jobs for the ongoing operations of the pharmacy. Approximately $2 million will be injected into the local economy in the form of wages and material for the construction alone. The effect of those dollars on the existing businesses in the surrounding area will then be increased as contractors grab a bite to eat at lunch or grab groceries after work. At the end of the day, what we're proposing here will create new jobs in Sussex County in a sector of our local economy that needs help the most. Small businesses everywhere are getting squeezed, and many are forced to cut the hours and salaries of their employees. What we're proposing here will help local residents keep their jobs. As a 12th generation resident of Sussex County, I cannot imagine being forced to pack up my family and move someplace else just to find work. Hopefully, our project will help prevent that scenario for the families of the roughly 75 men and women that this project will employ. Thank you for your consideration.
As far as you know, CVS is going to add this. In other words, they have one on Route 1. They have a store.
In Rehoboth.
Are they going to keep that? They're not closing that, are they?
Well, they're building them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CVS is a very prolific developer right now.
Okay, so they're keeping the one on Route 1.
And as far as your job figures, did you get those numbers from the JEM developer?
Yes, the developer. Yes.
And let me just quick back to the what's where are you now on the residential part of that community? How many, What's the build-out? What was the total build-out?
586 units is what our approvals are for. We have the infrastructure complete for all 586.
Okay, where are you now in the on that number?
I believe we have...
Here she comes. Does she have the numbers?
Yeah.
Thank you. I see why they have you. Yeah, good, good.
586 home sites that we have, and we have 85 home sites remaining to be sold,
85.
Which are primarily vacant lots.
Right. Okay. Vacant. Okay, thank you.
At the commission level, it was stated by someone on behalf of the applicant that there were 12 townhouse units left to be constructed. Is that part of that same number?
That's part of the same number,
right.
Yes.
Thank you. But that's basically all sitting just vacant land, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Right now.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. That concludes our formal speakers. I do want to just quickly address compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. And I don't want to rehash, but again, we're dealing with 4.04 acres. We're seeking rezoning from AR1 to B1. We have addressed ordinance number 1377, the fact that we voluntarily offered to restrict what users would be made of that it was then 4.5 acres. The developer, Old Town Point, has tried to get a viable user. It was not successful. CVS approached Old Town Point and said, you know, this fits our corporate mode, and we see a need for CVS in this location based upon our corporate analysis. We then contracted with CVS, conditioned upon rezoning. As a result of that, users that may not have been interested 4 or 5 years ago have come forward. We're exploring those users, but they don't want, probably don't have the capacity to take the whole 4 acres. And the most viable feeler we've gotten as a result of the public publicity is the Lewis Library. And the Lewis Library would not have been interested 4 or 5 years ago because they were in an existing expansion mode of their, they were going through a series of 2 expansions at their current location. Again, as Mr. Christenberry's booklet show, this is in a primarily residential mixed community and commercial area. The people who bought into the Village of Five Points were understood that this was a new urban community in which residential and retail uses would coexist, so that they were apprised that this acreage leading into the Village of Five Points would not be used residentially. And we've also done some extensive restrictive covenants to limit the adverse uses that could be made if the full B1 zoning was applied. If the council approves this rezoning, they will also have to amend or modify Condition 21 of Ordinance 1377. The proposal complies with the comprehensive plan updated 2008. The plan identifies the subject property as being located in the highway commercial mapped area. The plan provides at page 3-17 that the highway commercial includes concentrations of retail and service uses that are mainly located along highways as opposed to small traditional downtown areas that are often historic and pedestrian friendly. Highway commercials include highway commercial corridors, shopping centers, and other large commercial vicinities generated towards vehicular traffic. Again, your future land use map, which we must comply with, does map this as a commercial area. Although we could have sought C1 rezoning, our purposes are accomplished, and I think our community is better served if it's limited to a B1 rezoning. The zoning code provides that the B1 district is to provide primarily for retail shopping and personal service uses to be developed either as a unit or in individual parcels. This is more of a unit development with the existing retail users at the entrance to the Village of Five Points. The proposed use is appropriate as the adjoining properties are zoned either MR residential with RPC overlay or C1. This property is essentially an infill rezoning and was contemplated with the original development of this property. The property is served by Route 9. DelDOT relied upon the 1999 traffic impact study, which contemplated traffic associated with this development, as this property was always intended to be used for building uses, which would be serving people, and that's what we're doing today. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
On this copy you gave us of the ordinance, the original ordinance, and it said the residential land community for a certain parcel of land, et cetera, anyway, containing 188.24 acres, more or less. And then you've got the rest of all this, right?
The 4 acres wasn't part of that 182.
Okay, but yet you included it in that.
It was included in the final conditions, that's true.
And why so, do you think?
Again, I thought we explained that early on.
The
developer was
trying to say, like, show that he was trying to give. I want all this, but I'm going to give something back to the community.
No, the developer suggested that this would be a use that would be compatible with their intentions and also compatible with the philosophy 10 years ago as to who would be using this.
But it's funny that you just said Craig was out trying to.
Right.
By word of mouth, but it's funny, it got in the paper once about this hearing, and then a number of things came in. So is it safe to say I could construe that there really wasn't a big effort to try to get this?
If you look at the affidavits, the letters from the mayor, the affidavits from the University of Delaware, the affidavits from existing museum users, you can see that we were making efforts. But you have to remember, George Cole, that just because something becomes available, that doesn't necessarily mean that potential user is going to be a viable user.
Right, can't afford it.
Because that potential user has to contribute to the upkeep of the community.
I understand that.
So, you know, even if I was a nonprofit and could generate enough dollars to pay for the initial acquisition, it doesn't mean I'm viable so that I can fund
my concern was basically that just notoriety of this hearing and what was the application brought in
if you look at the affidavits we submitted, we pretty well exhausted the viable and known community users that were located in this area back for over the last decade.
It was like, say, Sussex County with the paramedics. We were always looking around. Were we ever contacted by anybody, do you think? Did anybody? I don't even think we were aware of it. Or do you know of anything about that?
Craig Hudson said that he spoke to someone with the EMTs. Unfortunately, he has brain cancer right now.
Oh, yes.
He could not give me a name, which is why the best I can do on that application was to do an affidavit that he did talk to someone, but he doesn't know.
EMTs are different than our paramedics. Well, as well. Could be different.
He said,
could be a different group.
Yeah,
okay.
It could have been. Even with the fire department, he could not remember a name which is why he did a separate affidavit on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Sergevic, help me understand. Who are the
the applicants, and it's homeowner association. Who are they actually?
Are they residents?
They're not residents of the community. It's not really a homeowners association, is it?
No, there is. The Village of Five Points has a very intricated. It's got a master association, mm-hmm. okay, which are composed of all the unit owners. That's lot owners and condominium unit owners, and I think the retail owners are also part of that. That's the master association. And then each one of the villages have the subset of associations or condominium associations. But the board that wrote the letter saying that they approve the application and approve the CVS use is the Master Homeowners Association board. And the board currently consists of four members that are non-Hudson members and three Hudson members. So the board, with the majority of the four people who are non-Hudsons, were the ones that adopted the resolution that said that we should write this letter in favor of this application.
Are they retail people? Are they homeowners or what?
I think they're.
Consists of elected members from the community. Mm-hmm. And actually, John said there are four. There are more than four. There are six elected members from the community. And the Hudsons, as the developer, because we're not finished in the community and we have not turned the community over yet, we still have seats on the board. And right now, three of the Hudsons sit on the board, but Craig has not been active in it. So Christian and Jamin Hudson sit on the board. The letter did not, Christian and Jamin did not vote.
Is it total of six, including the Hudsons, or is it six plus three?
Six plus the three right now, right. Okay. There are more people on board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You haven't answered. Are they retail people?
They're homeowners. No, they're homeowners. And actually, John was incorrect. None of the retail people sit on our board of directors.
You don't? Okay.
Right. They are actually what's known as Class C members of the community, and they don't have votes, and they don't sit on the board. But they do pay a maintenance fee back to the POA. A maintenance fee, the CVS pays a CAM charge, or not CVS, I'm sorry, Food Lion Shopping Center pays a CAM charge back to the POA, County Bank does, and then the individual retail people in the downtown center pay a POA fee.
Well, I guess you can imagine why I'm asking the question, is that we have people who are opposing it, and they do live there, and I was just trying to figure out how that was working.
Thanks.
Mr. Sergovic, did you have anyone else?
No. Unless you have any further questions, we've concluded our formal presentation.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here?
Just to tell them not to leave, so because we might afterwards.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in behalf of the application? Anyone else like to speak in behalf? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Anyone who'd like to speak in opposition? Ma'am?
Come on down, somebody. Right. Here comes.
When you come to the podium, would you give your name and address, please?
No, don't worry about it.
It's just us.
Name and address.
Honorable members of the council, my name is Maureen Hobbs. I live at 33352 West Austin Street, Village of Five Points. If this proposed change in zoning of the 4 acres, if this goes into effect, my home will face, as you've all heard, the loading dock, the trash cans, the drive-in window. There are presently three pharmacies in the area, which we've all discussed. I don't want to go all through that. I feel like that right now we have too many pharmacies. We don't need any more. There's one CVS on the way to Rehoboth, which I think you mentioned. If CVS really has to be in our area, they can go down to Broadkill Road. Jack Lingo has 4 acres down there. They're in desperate need of a pharmacy down that way. Let them go down there. My husband and I bought this townhouse from Jim Kraft. It was the original model house, and our intentions are to come down here and live permanently. We're down here most of the time, but not permanently right now. The community is very, very lovely. We love the idea that you can walk to the grocery store, Cape Pharmacy, the bank, the hair salon, the gym, the deli, and all the restaurants. It's nice on a beautiful evening to walk to the restaurant and then be able to walk home and sit outside with all of our neighbors. As you all know, 28 commercial locations are in the area. 16 are occupied, 12 are still vacant, and two of them still have dirt floors. They haven't even completed those. Seaside Interiors and Quiet Storm left due to a rent increase. I understand that very shortly, within the next probably year, a larger restaurant will vacate and go to a new location right here in the area. They just renew their lease because their new location is not available. Our downtown section is becoming a ghost town. We've got all these vacancies. Finish one job before you start another one. I understand that the Hudsons will make at least $3 million if the council approves the change in zoning and CVS goes through. But I've been in real estate in New Jersey for 35 years. And residential real estate is one thing. That's emotions. Buyer and seller want to buy. Seller wants to sell. Commercial, when you get into that, that's dollars and cents. If there's one little thing that comes up at settlement, CVS could walk away, and God knows what will happen if that deal dies and the zoning's already changed. I mean, what will we get there? Will we get a 24-hour Wawa? Now, they're saying you can't have a gas station, but just a 24-hour Wawa would be horrible. That would be terrible with all that noise and traffic through the night. We have lived here for the past 4 years, and the 4 acres in front of our house, it's really been a delight to live there and to have the 4 acres there. The neighborhood children play baseball, football, fly kites. You can even see the parents out there playing with the kids. It's really become like a nice little park. And maybe it's too valuable to become just a park, but there must be some use for it that would make nice for the whole community. The pond is full of fish. The children go out, they go fishing. When our granddaughter's down here, she's right out there with all the kids having a great time. It's a great space for all of us to get out and congregate and walk our dogs and get to meet the whole community. Use it the way it was designed to be. Keep it for the community use. At the time of closing, as we've all discussed, we were required to review the bylaws of the Village of Five Points. We also signed off on the 4 acres that at some point it could be developed for future use, but also for the betterment of the community. We were told over and over and over again, and they're still telling us up until a couple of weeks ago, they would never zone that area for commercial. It would never go that way. Why can't we have something like a farmer's market? Is that possible? Have something like a farmer's market there? Why couldn't we have like they do in Jersey, the churches and the schools and all sometime in vacant land? They have like a mini carnival where they'll, I guess the churches are making money, and they'll have like a mini carnival where somebody will come in and they'll have their rides, Ferris wheels, merry-go-round, cotton candy, different activities for the whole family. Is that possible? Or something like that to come in. And don't forget that this is also the stopping ground for the geese that come through Delaware twice a year and open that at the open space there and with the pond. The council recently denied a proposed office complex on Savannah Road and Dove Drive at the entrance to Covey Creek subdivision, as well as the very publicized Lingo property on Kings Highway. Please, again, I ask you, do not change this zoning. Please, keep it for community service. As we've talked before, all the Hudsons, Craig, Jamie, and Kristen, all are on the POA board, as well as this Five Points Master Developer board. Now you can see why it was approved. I mean, there is influence there. All I'm asking you again is please think about us poor homeowners here and keep it the way it should have been. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Sir?
Yes. My name is Don Lineback, and I live at 33204 West Batten Street. As you can tell, I'm not a public speaker, and I'm not going to try to make a speech. I would like to address a couple of points that I jotted down listening to the conversations here. One of the key selling points when I purchased my home at the Village of Five Points was the fact that we were going to have an integrated but segregated community, meaning that single-family homeowners would live in one area, apartment dwellers in another area, the downtown shopping area would be separate, and that part of it, at the front of the village, there would be an open area that we're going to try to get some sort of public service type of unit in there. I haven't seen anything or any talks about trying to get someone for this space. The thing that comes to mind is the fact that I sat here back in October and November, and I listened to the YMCA of Rehoboth Beach that was willing to sell their souls in order to get into the shopping center that was going to go across the street from the high school. Did any of you folks happen to get a hold of the Rehoboth Beach people and ask them if they were interested? That would qualify, wouldn't it? I'm asking you folks at the, you know, council members, would that qualify? If it would qualify, then why didn't someone contact them? Or did they contact them? I don't know. Currently, they talk about putting in a CVS drugstore. Currently, we have two drugstores that are within walking distance of my home. As a matter of fact, I walk past the Cape Pharmacy on my way over to Happy Harry's or Walgreens, pick up my newspaper, and I walk back home. Now, do I need to walk past a third drugstore in the same area, or do I now cut my walk in half and stop over at CVS to pick up my newspaper? With a little bit of common sense, why do we need three pharmacies that close together? And the other thing that comes to mind, and I have nothing to do with the Cape Pharmacy, one of the things that comes to my mind is Cape Pharmacy, what the heck do they feel now since they were brought in and sold a bill of goods in order to get a lease to put a pharmacy in there? And putting a pharmacy in isn't like putting in a tanning salon where you just put in a few beds, folks tan, pay their money, and leave. This is a pharmacy that requires getting people with an education and a diploma in order to be a pharmacist. I don't understand how Hudson in good conscience can want to put a CVS in direct competition to these people when already they have another competitor of Walgreens that's going to triple the size of their building just across the street. We talked about the Homeowners Association. One of the members of that Homeowners Association walks by and says hello to me every morning, has just about 3 to 4 times a week. Gosh, I don't know, 3 years or ever since he moved in, because I was in a little earlier than him. Not once did he mention to me that the meeting, the Homeowners Association meeting back in the Hudson Group, were going to build a CVS pharmacy up the street. Wouldn't you think that if he represented me, that he should have at least asked me what my opinion was if he was going to write a letter to you folks saying that I agreed with it? I'm sorry? That basically are my points, other than one last point. This gentleman here, I believe, the attorney at the beginning of this hearing, made a statement that no one would be able to stand in rebuttal to another person's argument. Is that about correct?
No. After one party speaks and they have spoken, they will not come back and rebut you. You will not go back and start asking questions of them. There will not be questions back and forth.
Okay. So my point of that being that we passed out these letters of all of us who were disagreeing with it. This gentleman here stood before you and went through the list and rebutted everything that we said. Now, isn't a written document a form of speech? If it is a form of speech, then wasn't he doing a rebuttal? It's a question, gentlemen. I mean, do we get an answer, or do we just say goodbye?
No, your answer comes from the attorney.
I'm sorry?
I would assume the attorney would answer that question.
Go ahead. I typically do.
Yes, what they're enabled to do, they are allowed to rebut to things that were at the planning and zoning hearing. The record was held open. those things came in that they rebutted came in as a result of that hearing. They were allowed in their presentation to respond to those items. They have responded to those. You're standing up now, and this is your chance to rebut what they said. But there will not be a third chance, Frank.
I understand.
Not during this year.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah,
if you make assertions now, they're not afforded the ability to come up and address those. So you can say anything you want, and they have to remain silent unless we...
You really going to be
unless
quiet?
We ask them for a clarification.
Right, we will. We can. We have the ability to ask either side to come back up and for clarification, but don't have it.
Well, as far as I was concerned, it just doesn't seem quite cricket to be able to run through these letters, but I wasn't aware of that. And my last question is, you have a planning committee that meets prior to you folks getting the documents. Now, if I understand, because I wasn't even aware of that meeting or I would have been there, it's my understanding that that group asked for more information and set aside making a decision.
Right.
Then why are we here? If you have a committee that's supposed to be reviewing for you and coming up with a recommendation and they set it aside, and a week later you folks decide to make a decision, then what do you need them for, or what do we need you for? Somewhere along the line, it doesn't make sense to me. Or am I getting confused?
Sir, there is not going to be a decision today. They indicated that it was deferred at the prior hearing, and part of my statement today was if planning and zoning deferred, we likewise have to defer. So we are not making a decision today. This board is not making a decision because they have not seen the recommendation from planning and zoning.
So this affords me the opportunity, now that I'm aware of all these meetings that are going to take place, to be here and maybe have a little bit more knowledge so I can speak to you a little plainer and simpler. Am I right on that?
This is the hearing.
This is the last public.
If you defer it, you're not going to have another meeting?
We will, but not a public hearing. We will discuss it. We'll be able to bring together all the information that's been accumulated, and we can then we can ask for more clarification from staff or whatever. And
in other words, this was our one shot, and it's done.
This has been his one shot and your one shot.
So now you got two shots.
Yeah, two shots, right?
Okay, and now you folks get to go in a chamber and discuss it by yourself.
No, we weren't.
Not correct.
No, we can't do that either.
The discussions will be done in open session, but it will not be a public hearing.
Now, that just confused the heck out of me. Did anybody understand that?
Sir, the purpose of this hearing is to discuss the merits of the proposal. You've given your statement, unless you have something else concerning the hearing itself or the merits of the proposal.
But that isn't part of, to try to understand how you're going to arrive at your decision?
That can be done. I think we've discussed that, indicated what the procedures were, that each side gives their presentation. They've had one shot at a prior hearing. The opposition had a shot at a prior hearing. The applicants had a shot today. And you've had your opportunity to rebut that today. There will be then scheduled at a later time to make a decision. That will be done in public, but it will not be a hearing.
It'll just be a
discussion.
Five of you folks discussed it and saying yay or nay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that'd like to speak in opposition? Sir?
I'm Alec Hendershot. I live at 33289 West Edgemoor in the Village of Five Points, and I made one few comments just from your packages there against this. Just to add on a couple of comments, the homeowners were not notified of any of this process. I don't know how the board worked, but usually we get notifications in mails with our billings for our homeowners' fees. They were silent on this point, so we don't know how the board of directors is representing us without our input. One thing you may not realize is a number of the homeowners here are not residents at this location. You cannot get them organized that fast, as fast as this proceeding was going. I live in a row of seven homes. Mine's a center. The other six homes are vacant during the summer, in the wintertime. They know nothing of this process. They do not read the little tiny note that was in the Sussex County press paper. They didn't see the Gazette packet at that time. They didn't see the little tiny sign that no one else can see that this was going on. So there's a whole body of people out here on the homeowner side that have no knowledge of what's going on. They can't give the input. Other than that, I'm thinking that they're going back to saying we want either the CVS or something else that was community service. Why not just break it down into 4 1-acre lots and get 4 community service issues that small amount? That's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I don't know if it's appropriate. Was it given expedited review? Was this given expedited review?
Yes, sir.
Most or has it been in line for a long time?
No, this was applied for on July 14th of 2008.
2008. So it's been in the works since July 14th, 2008. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
It was advertised on
9 months.
February 10th of this year.
Hi, I'm Jane Rosman. I live at 33164 West Chesapeake Street, Village Five Points. The only thing I want to agree with some of the people who already spoke in disagreement with this, the first reason being we bought our home from Gemcraft. When we went to look at the layout that the builder had in their model home, it showed that this was going to be open space, and they had listed on the board what it could be used for. They listed that it could be used for fire, paramedics, I have the list here, a police station, a post office, a museum, and one of the sales girls also told us that it could possibly be used for a playground. So that, when we bought the home, we bought it thinking, oh, this is great. We'll be in a closed community where we can't have businesses except on Main Street. With this, what I don't understand is Mr. Hudson said that now since it's been in the paper, people have come forward with nonprofit, something that maybe could go in there. So since it's been announced, maybe we should give it time. Maybe someone will come through with a nonprofit and nothing will have to be rezoned. Because what really frightens me is the fact that if it is rezoned and something happens with CVS, what are we going to do, put all retail stores out there? I mean, there's nothing to stop anything at that point. And we have to live with it. The other thing is, over at the Food Lion Shopping Center, which Mr. Hudson addressed, there are a lot of vacancies. I mean, maybe they should work something out with Food Lion to get people in there. Also, and back on Main Street, in our, what's supposed to be our business area, we have empty building on top of empty building. They should be filled. And by putting the stores out, or CVS, out along Savannah Road, how's that going to bring business back into the back area where they have to come off of Savannah Road? In fact, it's going to block it. You're not even going to be able to see back there. So I really feel that if they want to have a CVS, I know CVS has had this thing, the same as Rite Aid and all the others, they want to be big independent buildings. But why not put them in one of these other places or remodel something for them or do something? The developer owns the developments. I mean, he can do something to work with them if he really wants them in. But I think at this point, because we bought our homes, told that they were going to be, and this is the way the land was going to be used, I don't think it should be changed now. I don't think it's fair. The other thing is, as a homeowner, and I live here permanently, I have never known anything about this whole thing with CVS. I think, truthfully, Mr. O'Connor's letter, which he wrote, should be disregarded, as far as I'm concerned, because it does not represent the homeowners. The homeowners were never told. The homeowners know nothing about it. We never voted on it, and it's just ridiculous. And I also think, finally, that we should take time and try to get this used for what it was meant for. This would satisfy what Mr. Hudson wanted originally. It would satisfy what the homeowners were told, And I think it would be just take time. And the economy's starting to come back a little bit. Maybe you will have some nonprofit organization that will, and especially if it's announced and somebody really works on it. I mean, right now, Mr. Hudson and I think Ms. Robin said that this was all done informally. Well, now it's time to get formal. Before we start changing everything, let's find out formally what we can do and have something in writing before you decide to change everything. And at that point, if you know, then if something has to be changed, maybe we'll have to live with it. But right now, I think we have other options we could go with.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes.
Did you know at the time you bought your home that Jim Kraft didn't own that land?
Yes.
Do you think it's fair to Jim Kraft to really deceive you and thinking they could control that land without owning it?
I think Jim Kraft had a diagram that they showed us.
But
and
they did not own it, right?
And no, they did not own it. But
you knew that, right?
I knew that. But at the same time, Jim Kraft worked with the developer, and the whole plot plan was laid there, and it was written right on there what it was supposed to be used
but
for.
But do you think it would be fair for me to make promises on your land that these other people that I do not own or control? You think that would be fair?
Sam, it could be a question if Jim Kraft actually owned the land or if
they
were
don't
just...
own it.
Well, I mean, Hudson's could have... We don't know.
Well, maybe I'm confused here.
Jim Kraft partnerships usually with the...
I thought the proposal about using this land for the specific things they listed, which the attorney talked about, was made by the Hudson family, who owned the land.
Yes.
Owned it all, right.
Am I correct in that?
Correct.
I mean, the Hudson family, who owned the lands, and one said those things, not the developer.
I can't ask him now.
Right.
You can ask him.
Well, we get a chance. When she sits down.
No, you can ask the attorney.
She don't know
that.
Oh,
the attorney of the Hudson family.
Was that a promise? Had they ever promised them that they weren't going to develop that piece of land?
Well, wait, not now. Wait till the opposition gets done.
I thought she was done. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, no, I
let her get done, and then we'll go back and ask some questions.
Okay. And again, I think it should be noted that our master association has Hudson's on the board. And I think, you know, right now everybody's looking at things financially and from an economic standpoint. And I think while the development isn't completely full and the Hudsons are still on the board, they can control a lot of things. Once that development is filled, they won't be on the board and things may not go their way. So I think that's another thing that needs to be considered. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in behalf or in opposition? Anyone else in opposition, sir?
My name is John Flournoy. I live at 33152 West Chesapeake in the Villages of Five Points. When I bought my home there and contracted to have it built, I was told emphatically that nothing would be built on this piece of property except a library, a museum, or something to do with community service. That's not being done. The board is not representing me in any way. They never came to me and asked me if I wanted this done. I did approach one of the board members last Saturday after this came out in the newspaper, and my main concern to him was the traffic that's going to be at this intersection, which is currently a three-way intersection, will become a four-way intersection. No traffic light, no stop signs. And it's a dangerous intersection as it is right now with just three entries into it. Now we're going to have four. CVS is a very busy store with 70 parking spaces. There's going to be a lot of traffic coming in and out of there. There's going to be tractor trailers coming in and out of there making deliveries. I personally work for a warehouse that delivers to grocery stores. And then over the years, the business has changed to direct store delivery. So instead of having one tractor trailer going in maybe once or twice a day, you're going to have multiple trucks going in and out of this facility. You're going to have Tasty Cake. You're going to have Coca-Cola. You're going to have Milkman. You're going to have the pharmacy people, the people who deliver the goods for the seasonal, because this is a beach community. You're going to see beach chairs there and all other kinds of stuff. It's like a little Walmart. Mm-hmm. They carry groceries. They carry everything. In this conversation that I had with Kevin last Saturday, his biggest concern was that if the board didn't stand behind this, they would have $6,000 pulled out from underneath them for a landscaping from the Hudsons. That's exactly what he told me. He says, we've got to stand behind the Hudsons on this because they promised $6,000 worth of landscaping. And we don't want to rock the boat.
Kevin
McBride, I believe his last name is.
And he is
He's on the board. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, he said that the food line people are very slow at paying their association fees, and if we don't generate more money coming into the community, we're going to run into the red. So by getting CVS in there to pay more money, Maybe they'll pay on time. Maybe they won't. Who knows? But I'm also concerned about property values. We haven't had any time to organize the community. Everybody that I spoke to in the last week and a half, and I'm a part-time resident, I'm only here on the weekends, but the people that I spoke to up until last night at the mailbox didn't know this was going on, had no idea there was a hearing today. So that's all I have to say.
Could I get your name, sir? I missed it.
John Flournoy.
Thank you.
I sent you an email. In fact, I sent everybody up here an email.
Okay, I just missed your last name. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else?
Nope. Here comes one more. Save the best for last.
I hope so. Good afternoon. My name is Anthony Pasek. I reside at 33354 West Austin Street, the Village of Five Points. That's the model townhouse. Actually, I didn't anticipate my appearance here today, and I was going to overnight this letter to you.
Get one of the mics.
Is that better?
Yeah, lift it up if you can get it up a little bit. There you go. That's good. That's good.
I didn't anticipate my appearance here today, and I was going to overnight this letter to you. With your permission, I'd just like to turn it into a statement to read into the record. I have a copy for each of council, if I may.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, I am.
Hopefully, maybe I can address some of the issues that some of my neighbors already spoke about and are concerned. Apparently, I'm in their boat. It looks like in the famous line, we're going to need a bigger boat. I'm opposed to and object to the rezoning of the 4.04 Village of the Five Points Park from an AR1 agricultural residential area to a B1 neighborhood business district. The true intent of the change is to permit an immediate construction of a CVS pharmacy store and 68-space parking lot. This is a plan dated March 14th of 2008 and submitted to the county on July 14th of 2008. This was in your application 1677, and this was after negotiations between CVS and Old Town Point LLC, and this occurred prior to March 14th of 2008. My wife and I, we maintain a full-time year-round residence, and we directly face the rear of the proposed project and B1 zoning request. My wife, Donna, and I bought the model townhouse November 22, 2006 from Sussex County retired Superior Court Judge John Martin. The deciding factor for us to buy was the promise of the seller, the property management company, and both real estate agents that the field opposite our front door would never be developed except stated in the declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions for the Villages of Five Points, and a complete copy of these documents are located in your record office in book number 02622. Donna and I have a three-floor townhouse, and our third-floor living room suite looks directly down onto the field. Even from the second floor, we look directly down into the field. Not only will we be looking at the back of any proposed project, but we'll be looking into and on top of it to give you a perspective. This approximately 4-acre field is known as the community service facility, which we already heard. And again, to describe the five-point document, as described in the five-point documents, it's 4.5 acres of property fronting on Savannah Road, and shown in the record master plan, the use of which shall be limited to community services, including but not limited to fire, police, emergency medical services, a library, or museum. And I don't consider a B1 designation allowing the building of a CVS drugstore as a community service facility within the original intent of the five-point documents. I recently ascertained while reading Old Town's application in the Planning and Zoning Office that in November 1999, Ordinance 1377 was passed with conditions. Specifically, Condition 21 stipulates that Old Town must first attempt to develop and sell this property as a community service facility with no profit to the builder for a period of no less than 10 years. If Old Town had an unsuccessfully attempted not-for-profit development, it may be allowed amendment to the original ordinance to develop or sell this property as commercial come November of 2009. That's the 10-year period. So this ordinance and the 10-year default option is not in the 5-point documents that I was required to read and sign for my closing. This development exception was never mentioned to me at any Property Owners Association or Town Center West Homeowners Association meetings that I attended since moving into the Five Points community. On June 24th in 2006, the Property Owners Association, in their meeting minutes, attribute Michael Lynn, a member of the association board of directors and an Old Town partner, was responding to a homeowner that asked if there were any plans for 4 acres at the left of the entrance. Mr. Lynn stated the area is zoned agricultural and can only be used for community use. Mr. Lynn also added that in the June 24th minutes, there is 4.5 acres of land on the left as you enter into the community that was originally planned to hold a commercial library, but the plan was turned down by the county because the community already has enough commercial businesses. Mr. Lynn also mentioned on a June 14th, 2007 association meeting that a wellness center was a consideration to be built, but any development must be affected with no profit to the builder. Mr. Lynn never spoke to the 10-year ordinance to be satisfied at either association meeting before attempting commercial development. On page 4 of the 5-point documents, and that's page 4 of the original documents I was required to sign, it specifically reads, incorporation within the annexed property that is 4.5 acres, herein referred to as the community services facility, fronting on Savannah Road and shown on the record master plan, is defined, and again reiterates its purpose, the use of which shall be limited to fire, police, emergency, medical services, library, and museum. And this past spring, in 2009, I observed the commercial real estate erected at the Five Points main entrance, just adjacent to these 4.5 acres. And I was assured by our on-site assistant to the property manager, and Resort Quest is our property manager. Our assistant to the property manager's name is Betty Jane Plautz, and she told me that this property cannot and will not be developed commercially. In actuality, a commercial plan and agreement was already in place as of March 14th of 2008 between Old Town and CVS. The sign that I did see referred to commercial vacancies in our downtown Five Points that were still available for lease. On March 10th of 2010, Five Points had a total of 28 commercial locations for rent. Out of these 28, 16 are currently occupied, 12 are vacant and available. Out of the 12 vacancies, 2 interiors are still unfinished. Out of the 16 occupied businesses, 2 are leaving Five Points upon culmination of their leases. Several of the vacant properties are the result of businesses relocating after their leases had expired. Two of the more recent business vacancies are Seaside Interiors and Quiet Storm, and they left due to a rent increase. The 5-point square footage lease rates are some of the most expensive, if not the most expensive, in our area. The two businesses stated to me that Old Town was not willing to renegotiate new leases without a rent increase. Both of these vacated businesses continue to operate in our area outside of Five Points. There is an abundance of commercial property available in our village. There is no need to rezone the 4.5-acre field to justify another commercial building and parking lot to accommodate a CVS store and pharmacy. I find it disturbing there's an ordinance stipulating that may permit Old Town the right to develop this parcel for going the good of the community. This ordinance does not appear in the 5-point documents and was never mentioned to me at closing or any other time. It further distresses me that Old Town engaged in discussions with CVS prior to 2008 that culminated with fully developed plans on March 14, 2008, with the pending stipulation that zoning will be changed from AR1 to B1 in 2010 as a condition of sale to permit immediate construction. Application 1677 was filed with the county on July 14, 2008. Old Town has not faithfully attempted to develop the property with a not-for-profit community services facility before the 10-year period ended and ceased attempts after beginning plans for sale to CVS. Old Town admitted at the March 11th planning and zoning hearing they did not start attempting to develop the field until 2004 and ceased efforts in 2007 after reading a contingency agreement with CVS. During the March 11th planning and zoning hearing, Old Town and its attorney said more than once to the commission, CVS came to us. We did not go to them. Why and how this statement at a planning and zoning hearing negates Old Town's Condition 21 obligations mystifies me. The salient fact remains that Old Town ceased trying not-for-profit development with 3 years still remaining to fulfill their 10-year obligation, violating the tenet of the 1999 ordinance. And further, Old Town never disclosed at any time in any manner the 1999 ordinance and its consequences to the Five Point property owners, and in particular to me and the other five homeowners in my building directly facing the property and the potential CVS pharmacy and zoning change. Old Town is guilty by lying by omission to us town home, to us homeowners of their plan to develop the CVS and request a B1 zoning change. I am concerned about the Village of Five Points Board of Directors' March 10th letter in support of this zoning change to build the CVS received and read into the planning and zoning hearing on March 11th. None of the eight board members attended the meeting except for Jamin Hudson. The only signature on the letter belongs to Board President Claude O'Connor. Claude faxed his letter directly to Jamin Hudson at 3:07 in the afternoon on March 10th. I find it intriguing that Mr. O'Connor faxed the board's letter to Jamin Hudson and not Sussex County Planning and Zoning. Jamin, R. Craig, and Christian Hudson are Five Points board members and the Village of Five Points master developer, and they also own Old Town Point LLC. Why wouldn't the board be in favor and offer its full support for this zoning change? Three of the board members are Hudsons and stand to make at least $3 million for Old Town and their family if the council approves a zoning change, a necessary contingency for CVS to buy the property. The Five Points board is comprised of one member representing North Village, East Village, Town Center East, West Village, Town Center West, plus two at-large members. The current board right now in 2010 consists of President O'Connor, Vice President J. Kevin McBride, Secretary John Gilbert, Treasurer Lorraine Rose, and members at large Lynn Taylor, R. Craig Hudson, Christian Hudson, and Jamin Hudson. The board is supposed to represent the Five Point property owners. At no time did the board or any of the individual members advise village property owners of their intent to support this sale, development plan, and contingency zoning change. When did the board meet, discuss, and decide to write the letter of support? There was no evidence in the public minutes of a board meeting, association meeting, or special meeting creating and supporting the existence and delivery of the March 10th letter via Jamin Hudson to the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 11th. Claude O'Connor is also the vice president of the Town Center West Homeowners Association, which represents my building in May. At the December 5th, 2009 homeowners board meeting, prior to the March 11th planning and zoning hearing, and after the March 13th board meeting, no mention of this project, contingency rezoning, or intent of the association's board to support Old Town's development plan was mentioned. Five Points has a website for public and property owning residents, with a specific site additionally for each village in the homeowners association. None of the posted board minutes or community newsletters mention the proposed project, the zoning change request, or the association board's endorsement on the community websites. This was the case preceding March 11th's planning and zoning hearing. I revisited the Five Point Association website on March 24th of this year and observed, posted within the board meeting minutes section, the June 2009 annual meeting minutes, and in bold capital font, the word draft. The annual minutes have always and only been included in the meetings section after a motion with a second to approve them at the next year's annual meeting. The June 2009 annual meeting minutes are scheduled to be publicly read and voted on at the next annual association meeting on June 26, 2010. The minutes, if approved, should then be posted, as in past practice, of all previous annual meeting minutes. I attended the June 27, 2009 annual association meeting with a full clubhouse of property owners. As Michael Lynn addressed us, many people in the audience, including myself, kept telling Mr. Lynn we could not hear him and understand what he was saying. Mr. Lynn continued speaking without stopping or raising the volume of his voice, even though he was using a microphone. In the recently posted draft, it reads, Lynn stated one of the most important actions that has been initiated by the developer to complete what was the developer's initial vision for the Village of Five Points concerned the four-acre parcel at the main entrance. He stated the parcel was the commercial core piece that would complement County Bank and the shopping center. During the planning process, the developer had to agree to limit the use of that property to community service, a fire station, library, police, or emergency treatment center. If no commitment was made, the project would have unraveled. Despite aggressive attempts, there had been no success to secure such an interest. At the March 11th planning and zoning hearing, the commission felt the attempts made to develop the property were few and poorly substantiated, clearly not aggressive. Old Town admits on the record the first attempt was made in 2004, and no more attempts were made after the 2007 deal for contingency sale to CVS and the B1 zoning change request was drafted. Excepting the one unsuccessful attempt by R. Craig Hudson to sell the field to the University of Delaware in 2008, according to Robin Davis. Why did Old Town, especially Mr. Lynn, not advise Five Point property owners at any time or at any of the board meetings or in any of the newsletters? In the draft minutes, Lynn continues, since the parcel was an integral part of the original concept of the community, the developer has approached the county to ask for a rezoning of the 4 acres, allowing them to have public commercial use of the parcel, not limited to public service. If the developer's request is granted, there will be 2 parcels with standalone buildings. Any use, he continued, would follow the established architectural guidelines. The 2 parcels, when sold, will contribute by paying assessments to the Homeowners Association, and this will help keep the homeowners' fees as low as possible. The developer is committed to keeping the board and community appraised of the situation. The developer may have been keeping the board appraised, but certainly not Five Point property owners. And in reference to following architectural guidelines, the chairman of the Five Point Architectural Review Committee, Saul Peltz, who reports directly to the board, had no knowledge of the plan to sell and rezone the field. Saul Peltz attended the March 11th planning and zoning hearing and stating on the record to the commissioners, today was the first time that I heard of this hearing, and that was a result of my walking through the development and I saw something on a home. I didn't know about it. Our board, they may speak for the board, but as far as I know, they haven't gotten any feedback from the residents of Village of Five Points. Peltz also said, when we purchased in 2007, we certainly were not informed that day that the developer had received an offer of interest or anything that was going on. I personally find this lack of information distressing because not only is the Property Owners Association Board required to represent all of the property owners, but has been silently supporting Old Town and has known of their project intention and zoning change request for a long period of time. Yes, in this case, perception is reality. It's interesting to note one of the current board members, J. Kevin McBride, is an original member appointed by Michael Lynn and R. Craig Hudson of Old Town. The board's support of Old Town's zoning change request is nothing less than a nefarious red herring in these hearings. Additionally, the county's 2 hearing notices on the proposed zoning change are not contained in the Village of Five Points website or inside the metal and glass lockable community bulletin board in the center in the central downtown circle, outside our clubhouse and Resort Quest on-site office. On March 12th, I inquired why the hearing notices hadn't been posted. I also requested to post the hearing for March 30th. The on-site Resort Quest assistant to the property manager, Betty Jane Plouts, advised me that one, the community bulletin board is for official business only. Two, the 4.04 acres are not within or considered Five Points property. And three, property owners are not entitled to the bulletin board's use. Regarding the 4.04 acre field not being within or considered Five Points property is in contrast with President O'Connor acknowledging it in his letter supporting the request with the words, having a CVS pharmacy located inside the Village of Five Points. I also pay four quarterly homeowners association fees in addition to four separate and unrelated Town Center West homeowners fees that are used for the mowing of the grass each Tuesday morning during growing season and general year-round maintenance of the 4.04 acres under consideration for the zoning change. Again, the Property Owners Association Board and Resort Quest are failing to represent the majority interest of the property owners in favor of Hudson's doing business as Old Town Point LLC. The land is vital to the area and a beautiful piece of property to admire, highlighting our community. In Sussex County, we depend on rainfall-fed aquifers to recharge our potable water supply. The 4.5 acre parcel is a large absorption port for precipitation collection as well as a preventative barrier controlling local flooding. In addition, the field is an annual stop for the non-indigenous Canada goose that migrates twice a year through Delaware. The field is also habitat for two families of hornkill birds considered cousin to the protected piping plover and snowy egrets along the adjacent fish-filled pond. BellDOT doesn't believe a traffic impact study is required. Try making any left-hand turn on Savannah Road any time of the day, especially the morning, mid-afternoon, and evening rush hours during work and school days. During the summer season, Savannah Road is frequently congested with traffic comprised of DART buses, Atlantic concrete cement mixer trucks, Lewis Fire Department apparatus, ambulance, going to the hospital, three different area police agencies, tourists, vehicles towing boats, and us locals just living in the area. The congested roadway is a major route directly to the BB Medical Center and its emergency room. As a retired 28-year veteran superior police officer, I have extensive experience relative to traffic science issues. I must insist that DelDOT conduct a current traffic impact study, both during the in-season and off-season for accurate conditions. A lot has changed since the last survey was conducted and submitted 10 years ago. Currently, we have the Cape Pharmacy within the village with a Rite Aid Pharmacy and Happy Harry's in Savannah Road. 24-hour Super Walgreens is under construction on Savannah Road within eyesight of the proposed CVS and B1 zoning change request. And don't forget, there are also pharmacies on Coastal Route 1, including another CVS. The rezoning of the property to allow construction of a CVS and B1 zone will negatively impact the Five Points property, in particular, all townhouse units in my building. I firmly believe Old Town is attempting to rezone as a conditional requirement for the $3 million sale of 2 acres to CVS for two purposes. First, to offset the loss of rental income from Five Points' vacant and closing businesses, and second, to avoid their obligation to try and develop the field as stated in Five Point documents and County Ordinance 1377's Condition 21 as a community service facility. Council needs to preserve qualities that have made Sussex County what it is. The Village of Five Points in Lewis, in particular, is a nice place to reside. The village has potential to become a wonderful place to live. We need to protect our natural environment. Please recognize the importance of our residential property owners and help us maintain our Sussex County values and traditions. At this point, the Village of Five Points, all the residential and commercial units and shopping center in the approximate 200-acre village have been overdeveloped and overbuilt before the master developer's December 31st, 2020 project completion date. The many vacancies are beginning to make the Five Point villages, the villages of Five Points, look like the proverbial ghost town at all hours on any given day. HOA fees continue to increase periodically to share Five Point maintenance pay, to share Five Point's maintenance and payroll costs created by overdevelopment, unoccupied residential housing, foreclosures, empty commercial space, and vacating village businesses. To rezone the 4.04 acres from AR1 to B1 is, in essence, rewarding Old Town for working under a mediocre business plan that created vacant properties, too many poorly constructed homes and businesses, leading into and culminating in our country's and county's current recession. Every village of Five Point property owner and lessee has complaints, including but not limited to water leaks and associated damage. I've cited several valid reasons to maintain the property as zoned AR1. Serious consideration must be weighed of the resulting consequences if the B1 zoning request is granted and the CVS contract of sale fails to occur. The field would stand a B1 neighborhood business district, and as the Planning and Zoning Commission stated on record, any one of 25 types of commercial situations can and probably will occur. If the rezoning to B1 is approved, the value of my property will decline. It's bad enough that Lewis, Delaware is now considered the pedophile capital of the United States since the high-profile case of Earl Bradley went national with his 471-count indictment and pending trial. My town, my village, my property can't afford any one thing that continues to contribute to the decline of current living conditions and property values. Please do not rezone the 4.04 acres or any section of it. Keep the land AR1 zone and protect the area leading into the city of Lewis, the village of Five Points, from overdevelopment and unnecessary commercial blight. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very
one,
much.
Sir, that was one heck of a letter. Well thought out. I mean, you took a lot of time.
Unfortunately not. I had a vision problem. I lost my vision until about March 10th, and real quick to put it together.
Well, we have not seen many letters of that extensive since I've been here.
Would you like to make that part of the record?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. May I? Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Part of the copy of your letter? Or did you get one?
They gave us all.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't get one.
That's fine. I have one for each council, and I also have an additional copy if you do need it.
No, that's fine. I got one.
Got one.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank, I have one question. During his presentation, he referred to a restriction on the four-acre parcel, and the restriction read, I believe I'm paraphrasing, I did not have the letter, that it was a 10-year limitation on a for-profit use of that property. Is there anything in the record that indicates that there was a 10-year limitation on that?
Not by the county.
Okay, so the county had not.
I don't know. I was going to ask the same question.
All we have is this, right? This is our official. Mm-hmm. And you saw that, right?
Right.
Where they
yes,
outlined right there.
It must be in, is that, we'd have to ask Mr. Pasek, but it must be in the record of the declaration of restrictions. I don't know.
Is the declaration of restrictions in our record for review?
No.
They are not.
Is there? Did anybody have any evidence of people referenced the marketing of the property of they as they bought through whoever they bought through from Mike Lynn or Gemcraft or whatever? Is there any evidence that anybody had possibly for any marketing material showing this as a designated abandoned?
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none.
One more question. One more question was the reference in his letter about if I could find if there's evidence of you paid four HOA fees or something, somebody said, and that out of these fees they were maintaining this for some parcel. Is there somewhere that somebody could show me that that is not true or is true? And I guess I'll ask the applicant. Let me ask the applicant what they've got as evidence of. Is that the case or not the case?
It is not the case. That parcel, the 4.5 acres, is maintained by Craig Hudson. And we actually even have a separate lawn service that maintains that land that's different than what maintains the villages of Five Points through ResortQuest.
Okay.
Since there was someone else speaking in opposition, Mr.
I just want to make sure I'm not confused. While ago, I was out of order as the president brought to my attention. I want to make sure I understand Councilman Wilson's question as to the stipulations that are currently on this piece of property about being used for fire station, police station, library, whatever. That isn't a stipulation that was placed on there by the owner of the land.
Let me see if I can put the history of the obligation in. Hopefully I don't mispronounce his name. Mr. Pasix, in his letter, he referred to a quote from a draft of the meeting of the Homeowners Association in June of 2009. And it's a quote. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a quote from Mr. Lynn. Mr. Lynn's a part of Old Town Point. And the quote that he read is from Mr. Lynn announcing this to the Homeowners Association is really the basic history of this. When the application was submitted back in 99 or 98, whatever it was, there was a compromise reached between the developer and a citizens group that said, you know, if we put this into our mix, will that appease some of your concerns? Then the developer did put that into the mix and said, we will restrict this 4 acres. There was no time limit, as indicated. The restriction pretty much mirrors the ordinance 1377 with a small modification by way of illustration instead of limitation, but basically it's the same restriction. But we did voluntarily do that, but we didn't say, you know, we're going to hold that in perpetuity.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
but
again,
my point, I think the question Councilman Wilson had a while ago was that there was some confusion as to maybe the person selling the land, who that was.
Right. Old Town Point.
Somebody this, it was old, not their land. But.
Old Town Point 10 years ago said, you know, we'll try this. And the others, the people that said, okay, if you try that, we're not going to do whatever we're going to do.
Sure.
And so, you know, we've had it now for 10 years or more, haven't been able to use it, and we're coming back to the county saying, you know, we thought it was a good idea, we thought it was viable, it hasn't been, our land is now fallow, we need to get out from that restriction.
So, thank you. Mr. Sergovic, restriction, was there an actual deed restriction placed on this 4.5 acres?
Yes. But it is capable of being removed by an amendment.
We have a copy of it?
The restriction?
Oh, okay, you're talking about
it's in the ordinance.
It says
right?
He
said there was a separate restriction.
Yeah, separate.
If you'd like to, I can make a copy available to you.
I think you should, yes.
We will happily do that.
It's been talked about quite a bit, so I think we ought to see that.
I don't see where they're going to try.
Just leave it.
Try something. It says applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use.
I will send Mr. Moore a copy of those restrictions. Is there any other questions?
Well, no.
And that was for everyone that got a deed to their property. That was written in their deed that they had restriction on that property.
There is a deed restriction that's subject to amendment.
Okay.
Any deed restriction is subject to amendment, is it not?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
But it's on the deed.
Right.
What's the pleasure of the council?
Well, I believe, with as complicated as this is, and we have to defer, but I would suggest there is a number of issues.
Sure.
I would like to leave the record open and just basically leave it open.
Yeah.
We need. I would like to have on April's. I think 13th is our next meeting. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Maybe our engineering department to review Mr. Christian Berry's calculations about there is sewer capacity, We have an engineering department, again, saying there is not sewer capacity. And if Lawrence could maybe review back the original, if you could pull some of the tapes or whatever, Lawrence, and if you could maybe possibly review them and see if there's anything pick up about the 4.5 acres, if there's any reference to it. Was the side deal you made on these restrictions with Mike Tyler's group?
Yes, I bet it was.
Was that? And Citizens what do they call it? Citizens Coalition.
Citizens
right?
Coalition.
So, I'd like to see how all this intertwines and stuff. Right. But anyway, I think we ought to just leave the record open.
Is that a motion? Is there a second?
You mean like just in general? Does anybody wants to make comment? Make comment.
Well,
I've had 18 months. I mean, this thing's been going on for.
Well, I know, but we just had the public hearings. I mean, yeah. It just for 18 months, nobody's known about it. From the testimony I heard today, Mr. Vincent, the sign was, and we've talked about the signs being too small. We also, the HOA members, a lot of people weren't informed. It was marketed different ways. I mean, there's a number of confusing things, and when we have deed restrictions. So I think that we ought to be able to review the deed restrictions. Maybe on April 13th we put together and tighten it up and leave it open until April 13th.
Okay.
And then readdress it, okay? Because I want to hear from engineering department, and then we can maybe finalize if there's anything else we need. So, okay? So just maybe April 13th would be the deadline.
Would any additional testimony only be from staff in response to our questions?
Yeah, but yes.
That's what we're concerned with.
Yeah, that's
basically. Would we be accepting any more letters at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything else out there we've heard from Delta, all the agencies, and we've heard from a lot of concerns of residents. Yeah, April 13th would be a...
For staff to make
For
comments.
Discussion. We'll have it on the agenda for discussion, and then we'll revisit what we want to do after that. We may put it right back on the agenda.
Second, please.
We may close the hearing.
Second. The motion is second.
Sam seconded.
Sam seconded. Defer until April 13th with record open for staff comment.
But we'll have it on the agenda for discussion purposes only.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's part of the motion.
Yeah.
Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried.
Make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh.
That's it.
That's it, Sam.
So. Good, buddy.